Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
The Growing the Game podcast brought to you by Mako Collision Repair here in Regina. If you've had an uh-oh and want it perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair over there at 2330 7th Avenue. Thanks to them for helping us grow the game. One of the guys who's growing this game in the province and in Regina is Stefan Ebsen, the offensive coordinator for the Regina Thunder. Now, Stefan, how many years for you now doing that?
Well, this is going to be my 10th year being the OC, maybe 11th, I'm not sure. And then I did a couple of years as the quarterback coach before that, so it's been a bit.
Okay, so tell us, how'd you get into football?
Like, football's just been kind of like a family thing forever. Like, just, I can remember when I was a kid playing catch with my dad and liking it and just kind of moving on through the RMF after that. It was a little different back then, kind of smaller, but that was a lot of fun. And then just through high school, and when I was kind of, like, I played a little post-secondary, but maybe wasn't quite good enough to be a starting quarterback back then. So I wanted to stay involved, and Greg Johnson, the old Campbell Collegiate coach, offered me a job coaching the quarterback at Sheldon with Mark Mueller, and that kind of sparked my interest. I liked winning.
When did you know you wanted to be a coach?
I think when I started coaching at Sheldon, I knew I was kind of at a crossroads. I wasn't going to keep playing, but I still thought I kind of liked football, and just getting an opportunity to kind of scheme and just watch people win. And I enjoyed watching quarterbacks get better, and it just kind of got the competitive juices going again. So that's kind of when I realized that's something I want to do.
So that leads me into my next question. What do you like best about coaching?
Well, like, I've thought about this quite a bit. It's kind of tricky. I love the players. I love watching kids get better, and I guess I coach adults, but just watching them get better and improve and succeed, and just seeing effort being put in and rewards being brought out of it. But I also, like, on a personal level, I love the scheming, I love the planning, I love the game planning. It's fun for me. I guess I could come sit home and watch TV or do something like that, but I'd rather kind of scheme and plan and watch film. It's just something that doesn't grow old.
How much better has junior football gotten since you've been on board with the Thunder?
Well, what teams are doing is quite a bit better. So the talent in general is just up, and I think that's related to RMF and high school and just all the workout programs and the better players and the team SAS and the, you know, South SASLEX and all that stuff. And I think that's helped the talent get better. But in terms of schemes, it's quite a bit better. I mean, just having that kind of relationship with all those pro teams, each junior team generally has an opportunity or a relationship with whatever pro team city they're in. So getting to meet with those Rider guys and talk to them has helped us quite a bit. And it's our playbook's definitely kind of doubled in size, and we're doing a lot more stuff than we ever used to do.
What are you doing better to become a better coach?
I think what's started to happen for me, there's always self-reflection at the end of the season. So I've been a part of some good seasons where we've won it all, and I've been a part of some seasons where it didn't end up maybe how we necessarily wanted it to. And that can sometimes, you know, I can be a direct influence on that for sure. So I always try to kind of go to clinics or talk to people or learn things that way, but also just reflect on how I call the game and what different things I could have done. So, I mean, I think earlier on when I was a little younger, there was a bit of an ego involved in how I wanted to call a game and how we wanted to win, whether it be kind of demonstrating how we threw the ball or whatever. And I think now I'm kind of realizing, or having the last little bit, that it's really just all about what works, finding matchups and winning.
Before we get to your team, the Regina Thunder, and the current edition, some of the guys you've worked with, where are your coaching aspirations going? What do you hope to achieve? Are you okay here in this role, or do you want to take the next step? What do you want to do?
Yeah, like, I think when I was a little bit younger, I really wanted to keep moving up. Like, that was my end goal, and it, for whatever reason, it just didn't kind of pan out. And what I've realized is I love it. I love coaching this team. Scott's got a good coaching staff. He lets me kind of try different things and do what I need to do, and I like the players that we're getting, and And the quarterbacks that we're getting are good. They're good quarterbacks, and I like seeing the kind of the success that they have. So I'm happy where I'm at. I have a young family, so I guess like anybody, you're always kind of wonder, but I really do like coaching for the Thunder. It's been great.
How do you think your latest protege is going to do with the Ottawa GG, Sawyer Bittner?
Well, he's good. He's a good quarterback. He's probably one of the more highly sought after prospects that we ended up landing, and he's just a real cerebral guy, and some of the things that he needed to work on, just getting bigger and stronger, throwing the ball better, and just kind of experiencing a post-secondary defenses and what they do, and a post-secondary offense. I think that really helped him grow. Like, the difference between him this year and last year was just terrific, and out of our quarterbacks, he's one of the guys that's definitely ready to take that next step. I think Ottawa got a good one.
So let me tell you, folks, if your kid's a quarterback and you want him to learn the game and learn it at a high level, you might want to go check out this guy, Stefan Enson. You've worked with Bittner, Marwick, Siemens, Hasting, Quest, Deke Jr. Which one of them, and all those guys have gone on to good careers at the CIS level from junior football. Which one of those guys was the best guy you worked with? loaded question.
I'll take the fifth on that. And you know what? They all are good at different things. It's a tricky, like, I think about that lots. Reed was pretty gifted in just about every aspect of the game. He could move, he could throw, he could do a lot of stuff. And Asher was too, and I mean, I look at what Kyle's doing over at the U of S, Siemens, and it's pretty impressive. It was a good group of quarterbacks. I can't complain.
Okay, so do you feel proud though? Like that's I know you talked about ego a few minutes ago, but do you wear that kind of proudly? You know, when I mention these guys, Deke Jr., Quest, Hastings, Siemens, Marwick, Bittner, these guys have all had success after their Thunder days. Do you wear that as a kind of like a badge of pride?
I'm happy when our quarterbacks that have had success at the next level, are thankful for what they learned with us. I think that definitely makes me and makes our team, puts us in a good light. And I think that's a good thing. I do think that we do a pretty good job of trying to prepare these guys for whatever their future aspirations and goals are. And when they appreciate it, and a lot of those guys have come back and kind of actually all of them and have said that it was a positive being with the team. So yeah, I'm proud of that.
What's the number one attribute to being a good quarterback, do you think?
Well, I think there's a mental aspect that's just different in quarterbacks. It's a drive to win. We can talk all we want. Like, there's physical attributes that I prefer, with size and arm talent and all that stuff. But the good quarterbacks that I've been around, whether it be Mark or Reed or any of these guys, they just have a different desire, something that makes them be the kind of first one in, last one to leave, and want to put in the film work and be the leaders of that team. And they're different than any other players on the team. And I think that's kind of the thing we look for. It's not necessarily a measurable in terms of testing for it, but you know it when you see it.
Stefan Enson, the offensive coordinator of the Regina Thunder, joining us here on the Growing the Game podcast. What do you guys got to do to get over the hump and knock off the big boys in the block, the Saskatoon Hilltops?
Well, Scotty and I talk about that a lot. And I think one of the things that we've struggled with this last year was we needed to make sure that we got bigger, faster, and stronger. You hear Scott kind of say that all the time, and it's true. We were maybe probably not on that level with the Hilltops this last year, and one of the things that we did just partnering with Level 10 and getting our guys involved in that, it's been a good experience, and I can see already that's kind of helped us a lot. In terms of the playbook and players and all of that kind of stuff, it kind of changes year to year, but I do think getting that experience, winning that first playoff game in 3 years and getting to play in a CJFL or sorry, a PFC final up in Saskatoon is a good opportunity. Guys, I mean, it was the first experience of that type of game for a lot of them. So I think now they know what to expect, and I hope that helps us.
Yeah, for sure. You talk about working out in the off season. You talked about Level 10. You guys also have some indoor camps in Moose Jaw that you're running as well.
Yeah, our next one is right away here on Saturday, and it's a good opportunity, open to anybody. We want to be open to all the teams in Saskatchewan and all the players in Saskatchewan and feel like we'll give them a look. It's we do our best to get everywhere, but it's hard definitely to hit every single town. So this is a great chance to come out and kind of show us what you got and compete against the best, get some good coaching as well.
So who's next in the stable? We talked about quarterbacks. Bittner's gone. Who's next in the stable? I know you added Jordan Hofford from Winston-Ole. I like that kid. I coached him in flag football. He's a gamer, kind of a Stefan Ensign kind of guy, I think. But who's in the stable here to replace those shoes?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Hofford. I really like him. He's one of those guys, when I talked about all the physical attributes, I mean, he might not check in height or anything like that, but he certainly, he's got something, doesn't he? I kind of like him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brock Hitch is our guy that's going to be taking over this year, and he's played a lot the last 2 years. I think he's probably, I don't remember the stats exactly, but he's thrown something like 10 touchdowns and maybe one or two picks in the time he started a few games, actually. Started a game against Calgary this year where he found out he was starting about 45 minutes before the game when Sawyer was just so sick he couldn't get on the field, and Brock played really well. He's got a good arm. He's a Miller kid, and just he's played a lot of football, and I like the way he conducts himself, and I think we'll have him for the next 2 years, so I see some good things for him. He's going to surprise a lot of people.
Okay, before I let you go, two more quick questions. One Super Bowl related, but this one has to do with what we're doing right here, the Growing the Game podcast. You are a competitor of mine because you're in the podcasting world too. So let's give a shout out to your podcast. I heard it. It's pretty good. What's the name of it, and what are you guys doing?
yeah, that's In the Pocket with Reed and Steph, and I don't think it's on the same level. All we're trying to do, we kind of wanted to start having some fun with just some of the recruits that we had and just kind of messing around a little bit. So, yeah, feel free to check it out. Well, I think we tweet it out and do all that stuff, but definitely not on the same level as this.
Oh, well, I don't know. I wouldn't say this is exactly ESPN either. We're just figuring it out. We're figuring it out right now. Okay, Super Bowl. Tom Brady, does he get his sixth Super Bowl ring? Who wins this game?
Well, I don't know. I actually think Philly's going to win. If I had to go bet my house on it, I guess I wouldn't bet against Tom Brady, though, would you?
No.
That's just it. So it's kind of wishy-washy, but honestly, I think Philly's going to give them a tough time. I like the way they're coached, and I like that defense is pretty good. I think they're better than Atlanta's was last year, and I think they're probably a little bit more tenacious than Jacksonville, and they seem like they got a little bit of that. I like the underdog kind of thing that they're kind of rocking, and they just seem like a team that's angry, and I think that can go a long way even in a Super Bowl.
I just can't see Nick Foles beating Tom Brady.
I know, it's killing me. If it was Carson Wentz, I would almost say that's going to happen, and that's the one thing that's
I know.
if it wasn't him, but I think if they get out to a lead, it's going to be tough for Brady to come back, even though he's done it against everybody.
You know, we talked about the Hilltops. Now, I'm not comparing the Hilltops to the Patriots, but they do have a mystique about them in terms of four championships. Yeah. You watched the AFC Championship game. The Jags basically had it, but, you know, they got conservative and went away from what was working in the first half, and we saw that with the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. We saw that with Atlanta in the last Super Bowl. It seems when you play teams like that, it's almost like you get to a point in the game where, like, we're not supposed to be winning this game. Do you kind of feel that when you're playing like a team like the Hilltops? They've got the experience, and they kind of know what they're doing in certain situations?
Especially when I was a little bit younger as a coach. It was one of those things where when you get up, not that you were surprised, but it was you wanted to protect the lead, not continue to find ways to attack it. I think we're a little bit better, or at least I know I feel a little bit differently. I kind of go in expecting to win, and we've been there before, having beaten them a couple mm-hmm. times or whatever. But it's one of those things. I do think that a lot of times, especially offensive coaches, they get that lead, and then they try to sit on it and just worry about kind of grounding and pounding and don't want to make that mistake. And I think that's generally when you make the mistake. Like, you don't see a lot of teams just successfully change what they're doing mid-game and then be successful. I think you got to keep being aggressive.
That's Stefan Ensign, offensive coordinator for the Regina Thunder. Thanks for this, bud.
You got it.
Time to talk to one of the latest additions to the University of Regina Rams football program. It's receiver Sam Mike, formerly of the Saskatoon Hilltops, a four-time Canadian junior football champion. How does that feel?
Feels great. You know, Saskatoon, you know, we had a great program out there. A lot of great coaching staff. So, you know, to be able to win four, you know, it was a challenge, but, you know, I'm grateful.
Which was your favorite?
I would say, you know, this year, the last one, just because it was my last year with the team.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so Sam, for those Ram fans that don't know anything about you, can you give us the Coles Notes version, the scouting report on Sam Mike?
I'd say I'm a speedy guy, probably a deep probably a deep threat kind of guy. You know, I catch a ball very well in traffic. You know, I can go up there and get the ball.
How long have you been playing football for, Sam?
I would say 7 years now.
Okay, what got you into the sport?
Originally, I was a soccer guy, and then, you know, I didn't make the soccer team back in high school. And then one of the coaches on the football team said, hey, you know, we've seen you kind of play out there pretty fast. You know, you want to get a football shot. And the rest is kind of history.
Yeah, so who do you look up to? Who do you try to emulate as a receiver? Like, do you watch any pro guys and say, hey, I'd like to be like him?
The main guy right now probably Antonio Brown. You know, I watch a lot of those guys, and also guys like DeAndre Hopkins. You know, they're all really good players. I just kind of try to emulate my game a little bit after theirs.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the strength of your game is? Is it your speed?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely my speed, but, you know.
Yeah, your speed is. How about, I looked at some pictures of you, man. It looks like you don't miss any arm days in the gym.
That's funny. Yeah, the funny thing is, like, my early years with health, you know, I was a tiny guy, you know, and then I wasn't playing a lot, and then, you know, graduated a few guys, and then, you know, I knew I was going to be playing, so I started hitting the gym harder. And yeah, obviously the gym's a big part of me now. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
What appealed to you about the Rams program, Steve Bryce and those guys?
Yeah, the main factor for me is just close to home. You know, Saskatoon's just a few hour drive away, and you know, they've turned a program there the past two years now. You know, it's their team that's just ready to win right now. You know, I thought it was a pretty good fit for me. You know, and also Noah being there, and they also lost some key receivers, so it was just a perfect fit for me. You know, I think it's the best decision for me to go there.
Yeah, and you get to play in the nicest stadium in Canada too.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a nice perk. What are you taking in school, Sam?
I'm in economics.
Okay,
I'm
so
taking economics, yeah.
What's your goal in life besides football? You're in economics. What do you want to do?
I'm not too sure. I never really thought about it too much right now. Just kind of see how it kind of goes. You know, I was taking business classes before too, so something along maybe in the business kind of world, you know, business analyst or something like that.
All right, so that's Sam Mike, receiver for the U of R Rams, bringing a championship pedigree to the program here with Steve Bryce. Thanks for this, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely.
Today in Where Are They Now, we're going to speak with one of the greatest Saskatchewan Rough Riders ever, Gene Makowski. Gene, thanks for joining us and taking time out of your schedule here. So let's rewind your career. What was it like for a Saskatchewan boy, U of S Husky, to be drafted by the hometown Saskatchewan Rough Riders? Do you remember that draft day, and what was it like for you?
Yeah, I sure do. It was in Saskatoon, so I didn't have to go too far. The Grey Cup was in 95, and so they did a few events preceding that in Saskatoon, I guess for interest sake. But yeah, it was great, and being able to play at home my whole career, and of course being drafted by the Riders was a real big thrill for me, and of course making the team came after that. But yeah, that was a lot of fun, and one of those things you always remember.
Gene, who took you under his wing, or which players took you under their wing when you came and got into professional football with the Rough Riders?
I would say, well, you know, the O-line's are usually a pretty tight group, and those guys were real good to me. They encouraged me a lot and helped me a lot. But I'd say the number one guy in that group was Mike Anderson. He's a Saskatchewan guy as well. Great player, smart guy, good family guy, and someone I really looked up to, just the way he prepared and how he played, how he approached the game was, I'd like to think I took a lot away from him.
Was there one coach in your career that, you know, maybe even in the young ranks, one coach in your career that really had the biggest impact on Gene Makowski's future as a football player?
Oh, boy, that's real tough to pick one out. I mean, I had so many great coaches, and even in high school with Huskies, you know, maybe my first coach with the Riders, Pat Perlis, I really liked playing for him. He's super intense, and he really gave me a lot of confidence. He really believed in me, and he kept, you know, chatting me up and was a believer in me, and I felt that, and that sort of propelled me along. I certainly wasn't a high draft pick or a can't miss kind of guy sort of thing, so to speak. But he was pretty influential. But Ballsy, it's almost impossible to pick one. They're all all have an impression on you, and you learn something from every guy.
You know, you coach minor football at the various levels, flag football, RMF. What have you brought from your playing days to that kind of level of football? By that, I mean, you know, what have you picked from different coaches, and what do you think a key is to being, I guess, a youth coach?
Well, yeah, just having a passion for the game is number one. Of course, I haven't had a problem with that. It's just fun to give back, and I guess obviously the X and O's when you played a long time in the CFL, you do pick up a few things, the technique side, but also the X and O's part, as I mentioned, and the schemes and the theories behind those. One thing I've liked, especially as you mentioned flag, is just of course I'm a lineman type. You don't know exactly what the receivers are doing, the DBs are doing. So you picking that up these last few years has kind of been interesting as well. I've enjoyed that aspect of it, and of course it's all about giving back. And if you enjoy being around it, which I would say 99% of the football players out there enjoy it. Many do give back, and I know you're one of them, Ballsy. But it's great to be able to pass along the knowledge to the younger generation.
Let me ask you: you got kids playing. You have a big name in this town. Do you? What's the best way to put it? Do you feel for your kids that sometimes maybe you know they got to live up to the Makowski name in the football world? Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, not too much. I don't put too much pressure on to do whatever they want. They like playing basketball. They like doing other things too. So it's not all football all the time. But I try and just point them in the direction they want to go to and help them any way I can. I hope I haven't been that way anyway. And I got three great kids, and whatever they want to do, I haven't thought about that much. And I hope they don't feel pressure. They make their own way and they do their own thing, and had not much to do with what I did. That's all in the past.
A few more questions for Gene Makowski here, former Saskatchewan Rough Rider. Great. So who's the smartest guy you ever played with?
Oh, good question. Holy smokes. You put me on the spot here.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say some of the quarterbacks I played with, I mean, they just have to know so much about every position. They have to know what the line's doing, the protections, the front seven, and read defenses. So all the quarterbacks I played with, they have to know so much. And I got to give a shout-out to guys that played center, mostly O'Day I played with for a long time. Those guys have to know what the defense is trying to do and read what safeties do, and so they make all the calls and that kind of thing. So the quarterbacks, they have to know exactly what's going on, and they have so much information to process in such a quick amount of time. So
tell you, you touched on something there that, you know, we can talk a bit about here. People don't really, I think that is the most important position in all of North American professional sports. I can't think of a more important position.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I like I said, the linemen, they have to know the front seven and what each position does. But the quarterbacks, they have to know that. They have to know the play calls, the signals, what coverage is coming. They think is coming, and it's just so much to process. And absolutely, I can't think of anything that's it's as much of a mental game as it is a physical game, in my opinion. In that position, especially defensive players, you know, they have the C gap and they rerun our pass, and you know, that's kind of it. But at that quarterback position, you need a special person, a special player that can, and you're expected to be a leader as well. So I think you're right, that is a very difficult position, and if you don't have a lot of experience coming up, but the American guys coming up here in the CFL, it's tough to get that experience, because you know, the pressure to win is now, and always is that way. So,
hey, I want to ask you this. You played Canadian football. You're a Canadian guy. I still can't get my brain around this. Why can we not see a Canadian be a starting quarterback? For just what you just said, they already know the game. There's got to be a guy here that could throw the ball around the field and get a chance.
Yeah, well, the kid from Calgary is getting a chance.
Yeah, Buckley, yeah.
Sound guy. But I think a lot of it is just training. I mean, I think in the States, it's just that football culture. And we got that here, and it's coming along, definitely. But you talk about year-round preparation that happens down in the States. And, And it's, boy, it's definitely a way of life down there. And I think we're getting to that. I mean, from when I was in high school, I thought, you know, we had 6 or 7 games and then that was it. We didn't touch a football or put a football equipment on until the next August. And now kids are getting, boy, that self-SAS selects, I'll try and get that out.
Yeah.
You know, they go all year long and there's spring camps now and there's special camps at level 10 and all that stuff. And boy, there's just so many more training opportunities. So I think over time you will see, because you're right, we have so many great athletes and we've seen the numbers greatly increase in our sport in football. And so I think you will see more of Canadian quarterbacks in the future.
Dean Majkowski won a 2007 Grey Cup, Canadian Football Hall of Famer, and played the most games in Saskatchewan Rough Riders history. Which one of those three means the most to Dean Majkowski?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah. Good clip. You're really putting me on the spot, Ballsy. The reason you play is to win, and to win a Grey Cup is the ultimate win with your team and have a goal for that at the beginning of every year. And to finally achieve it, I think I got in my 13th year. So it took me a while. And I had never been a champion even through high school and university days. So winning a Grey Cup is probably right up there.
Hey, let me ask you, that's just great because my son, we just lost again in the flag football semifinals. Always get to the semifinals but never get over the hump. And he's only been playing for a few years. But he's driving home in the car going, broke his thumb and says, When's it ever gonna happen for me? And I said, man, there's lots of guys that play and never win anything. So let me ask you, Gene, would your career have been unfulfilled had you not won that Grey Cup? And did you think about it as maybe you went when you had the run up to that 2007 Grey Cup? Because obviously time was getting short for you then. We thought at the time, I guess.
Yeah. You never know if you're gonna get that opportunity or get that chance, and you're always kind of jealous. I never liked to watch the Grey Cup games because you're. You know, we'd come close a few years and you're kind of bitter that you're not there and you want to be part of something like that. And so, yeah, I guess a little bit wouldn't have been as fulfilling if I hadn't been able to taste that championship. Certainly wouldn't call it, you know, like a failure or anything like that. But there were, I think, would have been a little piece of regret and you know, some wishing that you'd had that opportunity. But thankfully, we don't have to have that conversation.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, lastly, longevity. When I think Gene Majkowski, I think longevity. Is that what you're most proud of? The fact that you played in consecutive games, that many consecutive games, had the most games dressed as a Saskatchewan Rough Rider, and are mentioned in the likes of Lancaster, Aldag, and Reed, because you are.
Yeah, well, I'll leave that for others to decide. But I always wanted to be a guy the coaches could rely on, and any guys that are out there all the time, if you're hurt all the time or not available, they can't rely on you. And so it's tough. And as we mentioned before, I am a coach, and so it's tough to deal with that, plug guys in different spots. So I always wanted to be a guy you can rely on. Of course, some of that has to do with luck, but I always prepared very hard in the off season to try and minimize the amount of injuries that you can accumulate over time. So, you know, I was very fortunate that way. And, I'm very proud that I was able to play a long time in the game that I loved and represent the Riders and my team and as many times as was possible.
They say the best two abilities you can have is dependability and availability. And, of course, you had both of those. Gene, thanks for all you do in the community. Thanks for the great memories in Rider Nation. We appreciate you stopping by. And where are they now?
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Baldy.
And the Growing the Game podcast brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh and want a perfect game, better get Mako Collision Repair here in Regina with Alan Mann and Joe Carter from the gang. 2337th Avenue. Go check them out. Thanks to them for their support of this podcast and growing the game of football. One guy who's helping to grow the game is a regular on this podcast. That'd be Brian Giebert out of Saskatoon, Saskatoon Minor Football. How do we find you today, Brian?
You know, it's good. A little windy up here, but spirits are high. We got registration open for our minor football programs, and things are moving along smoothly towards the spring.
Hey, things are moving along smoothly for the under 16 and under 18 teams there in Texas. Tell us about that. I know you were down watching.
Yeah, no, I was actually coaching the U16 Team East, actually, because we sent two teams from Saskatchewan. The South team went west last year, and the North team went east. And so we had quite the representation of Saskatchewan kids on both those teams. And it was a great great week down in Texas. Our Canadian kids showed really well, especially at the U16 and U18 level. There was 10 kids from Northern Sask represented on the U16 team, and another six from South Sask represented on the U16 team, and then there was two kids from Saskatoon that were on the U18 team, and another three, I believe, from South Sask that were, sorry, four from South Sask and Regina that were represented on the U18 team. So, you know, Saskatchewan definitely punching above their weight again on the national level. And, you know, all the teams were successful against the Americans down in Texas there, with the one exception of the U19 team. They got hammered pretty good by the squad loaded with NCAA Div 1 talent. So, but all in all, a great representation by Canada and Saskatchewan down there in Texas at the International Bowl.
So I'm not trying to minimize what the U18 team did winning the International Bowl there, but you talked about the U19 team playing Division 1A talent. Who are the Canadians playing in the under-18 division?
You know, the under-18 division is made up of the Canada Cup All-Stars. So, you know, with Saskatchewan showing as silver medalists last year and, you know, really 30 seconds away from being gold medalists this past year at the Canada Cup, they had a great representation. And, you know, talk about leadership, Jackson Ford and Josh White, both from Campbell Collegiate, they were the leaders on that U18 team down there. Bennett Stusick, another great guy at receiver. Adam Labrash came up with a huge third down catch from here in Saskatoon at Walter Murray, and Nathan Raymond anchored that that offensive lineman, and I know he's committed to the Rams, and he played at Moose Jaw Vanier last year. So, you know, these guys are just stepping their game up and showing that they can play at the elite level for sure. And those U18s, I think it was 44-26 was the final score in that game, and they were awesome.
You know, it's amazing that you know, we have such a limited time to play football in this province because of our weather. You know, the talent we're producing is unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, again, I can't say enough, and I'm kind of a broken record here, but, man, the coaching, the level of coaching we have in this province at the grassroots and high school level is just phenomenal, and these coaches do a great job of prepping these kids for the next level of play.
Brian Gieber with Saskatoon Minor Football joining us here on the Growing the Game podcast brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. I understand Saskatoon's rolling out a spring football league this year for the first time.
Yeah, we've run an academy for the last 5 years, and you know, we've been focusing on safety and development of skill, and that will be the focus going ahead here with this year's version of the academy. But just with the growth that we've seen in the game, you know, we've confident we've got enough membership. We've got a lot of kids registered already this year. It's really exciting that we're going to roll out a four game spring league this year, and we're really excited. We have a whole bunch of coaches signed up and eager to coach in it, and you know, just with the facilities that we have over at Saskatoon Minor Football Field, we're super excited for the product that we're going to get to use to develop these skills in a more competitive setting this year. Last year we got to play an exhibition game against Harry Ainley, and the kids really stepped up and showed their skills in that. So I think up here in Saskatoon, we're ready just to enhance our academy that much more.
You know, it's interesting because up here down here in Regina, we've got the Libel Field, which is as good a facility as you'll find, and it's getting better with the expansion, with the building and everything like that, dressing rooms and such. How are things in Saskatoon? I know you've a Saskatoon Minor Football Field. You have a great facility there. Just talk about your facilities up there.
Yeah, you know, we are just so blessed up here to have the Friends of the Bowl committee that, you know, fundraised for the Gordie Howe Bowl renovation project, where we got new turf, new lights, a new facility, warehouse for Saskatoon Minor Football and all of our equipment there. They've just been approved on a $44 million expansion of, I guess, what I call now the campus. We're going to have a second turf field that will be built this spring for us with lights. and an indoor turf facility that should be breaking ground rather soon here. And then, again, just expanding to other sports, we're going to have some outdoor turfed practice infields for softball and baseball, new stands at Karen's Baseball Diamond, and a new track getting put in cooperation with the Clarence Downey Speed Skating Oval. So we're seeing a lot of progress happen in our neck of the woods here. And you know, it's just amazing the support that we have in the overall sports community, and especially in the football community, that these things are happening, and people are being very generous with donations. And we just have just such a great support network here in this province of volunteers and sponsors and people that are just quite generous with their donations to make such a great facility happen.
Brian Gieber with Saskatoon Minor Football joining us for a couple more minutes. Now, you talked about the likes of White and Ford and Stusik and LeBrash and some of those names at the under 18. Let's look forward now to 2019. What are some of the names, or who are some of the names we can pay attention to as we head into the next football season here?
Well, you know, I think I'm boldly going to say next year in the north, in Saskatoon in particular, it's the year of the running back. Tanner Sakash of the Holy Cross, he was a force to be reckoned with this year, but he was only in grade 11, and you know, he was on the provincial team as well as a running back there and returner. JT Lamb from the provincial champion North Battleford Vikings, Nathaniel Lucan from the Evan Hardy Souls, and then Thomas Coghill from the city champion Centennial Chargers. These four running backs are all in 11th grade right now, going into their senior year next year, and these guys are just absolute game changers for their high school teams. So defenses better be ready to stop the run when they face those teams for sure. And another guy I got to point out is Blade Wiggins. He's a receiver out of Evan Hardy. Probably stands about 6'2". Just a long, smooth, great hands, really gets up, plays the ball well in the air, and to go with it, he's like, you know, one of the top academics here in Saskatoon. I think his mom was saying that he had a 91 average coming out of first semester this year. So again, you know, he's just preparing himself on all levels to get ready for that next level and take on university for sure. So those are some of the playmakers that are certainly ready to come out next year, and yeah, it's looking like football just keeps getting better and better, and the depth keeps developing across all schools. The parity here in Saskatoon is really exciting, and next year's high school season is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, just before we wrap up, back to your spring league now. Did you have you had any contact with Regina Minor Football? They've run a really successful RMF league down here, Spring Football League, and have you kind of, you know, touched base with them to see how they run things?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Len Antonini is somebody that we lean on heavily when coming up with new ideas and figuring out what works best for us up here in Saskatoon. And you know, we share ideas all the time. And obviously, Regina is something that we were closely looking at in terms of developing the skill and talent up here as well. So yeah, we have certainly reached out to Len and his colleagues there at Regina Minor Football and some of the coaches down in that league. And yeah, you guys got to be so proud of the product that you run down there in Regina, and we're looking forward to getting into the spring league model as well. But you know, one of the priorities, and I know Len believes the same thing, is we just want to do our best to prepare the kids that we have in Saskatoon and Regina for their high school seasons. I don't think anything's better than high school football in the mm-hmm. fall, and you know, playing under those harvest moons, and you know, just the smell in the air that football really brings in the fall. So that's the number one goal here, is still the development of players and helping prepare them for the provincial team in the summer and their high school season in the fall. And we can't lose sight of how important high school football truly is.
Super Bowl Sunday, my friend, who do you got, Eagles or Patriots?
It's hard to bet against Tom Brady and the Patriots. You know, I guess I'll be cheering for the Eagles, but I guess right now I'm expecting the Patriots to win another one, and you know, Brady is the greatest of all time, and Belichick seems to be one of those game planners that you certainly don't want to bet against either.
Do you think it's more Belichick or Brady?
Oh, boy. You know, Belichick's shown that he could do it with Matt Castle and fill in with some, you know, Garoppolos and Jacoby Brissett and stuff like that when Brady's not there. So I got to give the edge to the coach on that one.
Yeah, that's not a bad call. And I'm like you. I think if Carson Wentz is playing, though, maybe Philly wins that one. I like Wentz.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Wentz, he's just a blue collar, hardworking, and just a heck of a quarterback as well. Pretty cool that he just played his ball down in North Dakota mm-hmm. State, not that far from us.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Brian, thanks for this.
Yeah, no problem.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.